I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Here is Albert Breer in his Monday morning quarterback piece goes into great detail about Deshaun Watson showing up at Texans training camp. And he's got some really important things here, I think, that you need to know if you're a Texan fan about where Deshaun is with the organization. Number one, the relationship between Watson and owner Cal McNair is in a really bad place. This is Albert Breer talking. If it's not irreparable, it's bordering on that. And as a smart coach once told me, quote, "The one thing I can't change is the owner," end quote. The communication breakdown during the coaching search was the root of it, and nothing has changed to fix it since. In fact, it may be worse now than it was then. Seth, I do think there is a portion of the Texans fan base, as delusional as it might be, that think that, hey, this could be the opportunity for the Texans to maybe pull this plane out of the nosedive and repair things with Deshaun Watson. Hey, he hasn't been face-to-face with anybody in the building since he requested the trade. Maybe Nick Caserio and David Culley can do the trick. If I'm one of those people, and I don't know that I am, I mean, look, and analytically, I think there is a slightly small percentage chance it could happen because it seems like anything can happen with this team.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of offseason drama. But if I'm somebody who truly has a belief that, hey, maybe this is just the elixir that we need to get Deshaun Watson back into the fold, that is bad news right there for me. If it's not irreparable, it's bordering on that.
That's the problem is, you know, my knee-jerk reaction, and it's the same with Aaron Rodgers or any time an athlete is upset that they weren't consulted on matters. My knee-jerk reaction is usually, all right, man, just get over yourself. The problem in this situation was that Cal went out of his way to extend that offer of input, you know, or inviting input from Deshaun to where it's understandable that somebody might feel, like once that offer is made, they might feel disrespected if they don't feel that their input was valued or if they were ignored. So it becomes a different dynamic. And I think Cal in that situation had the best of intentions. And maybe we'll never actually know exactly how it all went down, but somewhere along the way, it was kind of hijacked, you know? And whether it was Easterby hijacking it, whether maybe Deshaun misinterpreted the message, maybe Cal just flat out changed his mind, whatever it was, that's the real shame of it all, is that I do think Cal had the best of intentions, but everything went awry.
Yeah.
And so, but given that, I think there would be room for some kind of reconciliation if they could actually be face-to-face, if they could actually have a genuine conversation. But I don't know. That ship may have sailed already.
The other three bullet points or the four bullet points that Albert Breer brings up in his Monday morning quarterback piece are all tied to the Texans' possibility, likelihood, I guess we could say, of trading Deshaun Watson. And I'll sum up the three paragraphs in just a general summary where Albert Breer says that basically the Texans are not taking a discount I've heard that Nick Caserio is determined to not take any sort of discount for Deshaun Watson, and the timing of the trade. You know, Breer talks about multiple first-round picks being what Nick Caserio is looking for in this deal, but for what it's worth, the sense other teams got over the summer break is that the Texans weren't in a rush to move Deshaun Watson. Seth, I think that's a positive thing that they're not in a rush to move Deshaun Watson, because I think if they move him now, with any sort of uncertainty about his legal situation or his availability with the league based on suspending him, the team that's going to pay that tax is the Houston Texans. They're going to have to sell him at a discount if they do it now.
Yeah, and really what it comes down to for the Texans in a lot of respects is how much discomfort are they willing to endure. And that sounds simpler and easier than it is. You know, Sam Hinkie, who was formerly with the Rockets, went on to be the general manager of the 76ers, started the process, as it was known in Philadelphia, where they were just tanking. They were
massive
just
tank job, yeah.
And ultimately, this is what happens when teams are tanking. At some point, ownership or management or fan bases just lose their patience and lose their tolerance. And that's what happened to Sam Hinkie. He ended up getting fired because ownership just lost it. They didn't have the intestinal fortitude to deal with the discomfort. So in this situation, this is different. This is, they're not tanking, but they're certainly not trying to win a championship this year. I don't know what the hell is, what it is, but it's not comfortable. And with the slow play with Deshaun, your best value for Deshaun, if you're going to trade him, probably won't come until next spring. Are the Texans tough enough to deal with that kind of discomfort, that kind of dysfunction? So far, it looks like Cal McNair is in it for the long run with Jack Easterby and with Nick Caserio. And at the very least, whether you love him or hate him, or whether you're super critical, as am I, of the way the Texans have handled a lot of things over the last couple years, I do think that they have a capacity for discomfort. Take that for what it's worth.
Well, I think we'll learn more in 48 hours, right? Yeah. 48 hours and 47 minutes, we'll learn more. Because if Deshaun Watson is out there practicing this Wednesday morning, Seth, 2 days from now, that to me is the next indicator that they've got the stomach for drama.
Yeah.
You know? Because I think if you're avoiding drama, then you come to some sort of agreement with Deshaun where he stays away from the team. If you're welcoming the circus... The circus happens when Deshaun Watson trots out onto the practice field on Wednesday.
And now I'm not saying that because that can be a really good thing or a bit really bad thing. Like a capacity for drama and a tolerance for it. Like sometimes that's great because it means you're patient or because you see the bigger picture. But when you're the person that's contributing to the drama, then you might just become a difficult person. Like, you know what I mean? Like the person that's like a person that's very comfortable with drama, but they're always starting crap. That's a person that's not necessarily a productive person. Organizations can be that way.
Yeah, it comes down to decision making. It's fine to welcome drama if you make good decisions.
Yeah.
If the drama is a result of good, sound decisions, then yeah, that's fine. Ultimately, it's a results-driven business. All right. Speaking of trading, Aaron Rodgers is the other big drama case right now in the NFL. If you were a general manager, would you trade more right now, today, for 25-year-old Deshaun Watson or 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers today? So you're inheriting the Deshaun Watson situation. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so I'm going to play a hypothetical here with you, Seth, as we welcome you back in on Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. You're the general manager of, I don't know, the Denver Broncos are the one team that's been rumored for both Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. You're the general manager of the Denver Broncos. Would you be willing to give up more right now, today?
Oh, boy.
Right now, today. Now, keep in mind, if you're trading today, you got to make a decision today. Would you trade more for Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers? Deshaun Watson, who is 25 years old. Oh. Aaron Rodgers is 37.
Oh, son of a bitch.
But with Deshaun, you are inheriting all the
All the baggage.
The legal,
and the uncertainty.
You got to weather the legal storm over the next year or so.
Baggage, uncertainty. And yeah. let's for the sake of this argument, pretend that the Broncos don't care, like, don't have a moral judgment on this. You know, there are some teams out there that are flat out not going to want to handle, you know, or touch somebody who's, if it turns out that they are
right.
guilty at all or anything, they don't want to deal with a player like
that's
that
right.
at all.
That's a good way to put it.
There's
yeah.
some teams that do, there's some teams that don't.
The Broncos are willing
so,
to, in
so
this
let's
case.
Just say that yep. they are. Boy, Aaron Rodgers is 37 years old?
37.
37 years old. He says he wants to play until he's 45.
Okay.
In this day and age, that's more likely and more achievable than it used to
well,
be.
Well, Brady did it.
Brady's done
or
it.
Or he's on his way to doing it.
But Brady
it,
also, Brady's never relied on his athleticism. I always wonder and worry with a guy like Rodgers, okay, what happens if the athleticism drops a little bit? Or if he starts getting injured.
Yeah.
He doesn't play all that great when he's injured.
And he gets injured.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He also had two substandard seasons before this last renewed breakout season. That's the real interesting thing about Rodgers is that this, what if this last year was like his one last dying gasp?
Right.
A weird, like out of nowhere. Remember like Mike Schmidt had like 1 year in his mid thirties where all of a sudden he went off and then he went back to like the normal. If in modern times, he'd have been accused of HGH and all that.
Right.
So what if that was just his Mike Schmidt year? Ah. Oh boy, this is painful. All right, I'm going to put myself in the shoes of the Broncos where I just don't care about the morality of it one bit, but there's the uncertainty about exactly. I would trade more for Deshaun Watson.
Even right now if we're knowing he might get suspended.
Yeah, yeah, because so far it's all civil. So if you take all morality out of it and whatever your team's capacity for all that is, I think the likelihood of Deshaun missing more than a full season, like multiple years or something, or even missing a full season is probably less likely because right now it's all civil suit. So I'm going to say that it would, if we remove the morality from it, I would take more for Deshaun. I would spend more for Deshaun.
If you're making the trade, as you pointed out, you're inherently removing the morality
right.
from it.
You're
probably going through in your head, how do we weather the storm?
Yeah.
But if you're making the trade, you by definition have to some degree, put the morality
aside.
I
was just trying to be clear about that so I didn't get 400 people on the text line.
You'll still get 400 people
animal.
On the text line.
I can't believe you despise women yeah. like you do.
Yeah. I'm with you, and I think that would be the case around the league, too. I think Deshaun, even with, if you were, or even if you set a price tag and say, hey, here's the price tag. The price tag is 4 first-round picks. Who do you want? You got 4 first-round picks you can trade. Do you want Deshaun Watson right now or Aaron Rodgers? I would say Deshaun Watson, based solely on the other 12 extra years potentially of availability that you may have. I thought about this during the break as I was reading through some of Albert Breer's stuff in Monday Morning Quarterback during the break. He's got a really extensive piece on where the Texans are with Deshaun Watson, where they go from here with Deshaun Watson. How do we read into the fact, Seth, that Roger Goodell has not done anything yet with this case? There's plenty of reportedly, there's obviously plenty of women available to interview. We know that early on in the process that Tony Busby made some noise about not liking the way that the investigation was being handled by the NFL, maybe a lack of sensitivity with Lisa Friel, the lead investigator on this. But we know that they've talked to, we think, plenty of people who have made these accusations of Deshaun Watson. Does the fact that they haven't made any sort of ruling on it yet indicate that they're having trouble finding things to suspend Deshaun over, or is it just the sheer volume of potential people to talk to that this is just going to take a really long time?
No, I think this is the standard operating procedure with the NFL, is that they wait on and let the legal process play out. I think that there's only so much they can do where it doesn't end up looking like they're trying to interfere or that they're trying to bully or coerce a witness somehow. You know, that's always the suspicion from a lot of people. It's like, oh, you see the NFL, either if they don't do anything, they get accused of not caring. If they try to be proactive, they get accused of trying to intimidate witnesses or trying to bend the process. So they generally try to actively monitor things and run their own investigation without getting in the way. But this is the way the legal system works. It's super, super slow. The other thing that happens with the NFL is they generally do not step in on civil matters whatsoever. They won't discipline a player for civil matters. They wait until there's criminal matters. Antonio Brown was suspended because there was a criminal charge. They did not suspend him for the at the time it was a pending civil lawsuit by the woman who accused him of sexual assault.
So right now the civil portion of this is it's not even going to go to trial if it does until the middle of next year. Deshaun Watson's not even going to be deposed if he gets deposed till at the earliest the end of February of 2022. So this civil thing, barring settlements, has a timeline that stretches into next year.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing you say, and I think you laid it out really well, is that one of the big tipping points here to Deshaun Watson's availability this coming season lies with HPD. If HPD comes out and says, we haven't found enough to prosecute or enough to bring charges to Deshaun Watson, it could very well be that that triggers Deshaun Watson's full availability for 2021.
Yeah.
Because then, I mean, obviously, if the HPD comes out and charges Deshaun Watson with something, then now he's looking potentially at jail time. The league, obviously, at that point, then at the minimum, puts him on the commissioner's exempt list and probably suspends him at that point. But the tipping point here could be, what do the police come forward with, if anything, over the next several weeks?
You know what the police need to do, Sean?
What's that?
Arrest me for my...
Arrest you?
For my Mike Schmidt take.
Because, why? Were you thinking of a different player?
Yeah, he was a stud all the way through. He led the league in home runs in 1986 when he was 36 years old.
He was MVP of the league.
He had 37 home runs, and then the next year at the age of 37, he had 35 home runs. And then he had like a 2-year drop off. He played 108 games, then 42 games, then he was done. He was like his entire career, he led the league in majors. He led the majors in home runs 7 times?
Oh, Mike Schmidt was amazing.
8 times in his career.
Yeah, he was
led the league in
one of my favorite players.
And yeah, there was no, I got to figure out who the hell I was thinking
of.
Yeah,
who were you talking
about? So I apologize
about
to Mike Schmidt for saying that you had one standalone year.
If you're listening, Mike Schmidt.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, you could say, oh, wow, he led the league in majors when he was 36. Led the league in home runs when he was 36 years old. But yeah, he had also done it when he was 34. He was steady the whole way through.
I can't believe you besmirched the good name of former MVP Mike Schmidt, Hall of Famer.
I didn't even besmirch his name. I didn't give him proper credit for how consistently awesome he was.
He was really, really good.
I apologize. Well, thanks. Maybe he'll make the Hall of Fame someday.
Maybe.
He's 71 years old. How about that? Mike Schmidt's 71. How do you feel about yourself now?
If you ever go back and look at
you're old too.
Go look at a highlight video of Mike Schmidt. And back in the day, he was, as you just illustrated, he's the biggest slugger there was back in the day. And now... And now you look at him now, and he would look like a second baseman.
Can you imagine if Mike Schmidt was lifting weights and possibly doing other stuff, too? It would have been unbelievable.
None of those guys look the way these guys do these days. All right.
Who would have been the best player on steroids ever? Like, take an historical player, and who would have benefited the most from steroids? Like, I feel like Mike Schmidt might be the one.
Inherently, it's got to be somebody like pre-90s, right? Because we're assuming everybody from the 90s on were actually on steroids.
Right. Now, a lot of those guys before then were taking uppers and what have you. But still, yeah, like which player, if he were on steroids, would have completely made Barry Bonds look pathetic, all that? Maybe it's Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth, although he probably needed a personal trainer to go with it, too. Like, you do have to lift the weight to do the work.
He'd have been the guy that did steroids and, like, got fat.
right. I'm going to give you a name, only because I grew up watching him. Jim Rice, the Boston
Red
Sox.
Jim Rice. Kind of a svelte physique.
But he had, like, he had some guns on him. And if you put steroids in Jim Rice, man, I'm telling you, he would have threatened some records.
What about George Brett?
George Brett, the anniversary this weekend of George Brett going nuts on that umpire because of the pine tar incident.
That was fun to watch. I watched that a couple times. And you know what it made me think was, and you think about the way things have changed. Back then, because I was, what year was that?
It was 83.
1983. I remember I was 8 years old. And it becomes like so legendary immediately. And part of it is that the only time you get to see that highlight is like if you tune into the nightly news.
Yeah.
There was no ESPN or anything.
No Twitter.
Like, you had to go, right? So you would talk about it with your friends and stuff. You didn't even know what pine tar was. Like, at the age of 8, I thought pine tar was like this illegal substance or something. And because everybody's talking about it. Yeah. All the adults are talking about it. And you see George Brett blowing up. But you could only see it if you caught one of the news programs.
That would have been the definition of a viral moment.
Yeah.
That's a great point. All right. How will David Culley handle the Deshaun Watson situation this week? We're going to go back in the Wayback Machine here. How has David Culley handled the Deshaun Watson situation at previous press conferences? How will he handle it this week is, I think, one of the more fascinating questions as we head into Camp Casario on Wednesday. That is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good to be with you on a Monday, Payne and Pendergast. We are 48 hours and 23 minutes away from the first practice of Camp Casario.
You think I'll have lost consciousness from dehydration by that point, or no?
2 hours in, we'll be out there for the first couple hours.
We'll be out there for our show from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Yep. So at that point, it's usually only like 98, 99 degrees at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So, but once that sun starts hitting me, if I've got headphones on while that 7 a.m. sun hits me,
yeah,
once it gets up over the fence and everything.
Right, I'm trying to remember the direction it comes in at. You're right, we do get hit by it towards the end there.
I'll,
in pretty good shape these days.
I'm not, but that means I sweat that much faster. I'm not sucking up to anybody. I mean this completely, totally, and genuinely. I don't understand how high school football players do it.
Oh!
It's because I'll tell you kids right now, if you've got a hard-ass coach, like a tough-ass coach in high school, your training camps are harder than NFL training camps.
Yes.
Because you don't have a players association. You've got your dad calling you soft if you complain about the coach. You go home to your dad, you're like, man, coach was really mean to me today. And your dad's like, well, what the hell did you do, son?
Yeah. And then he throws a bag of salt tablets at you.
You're like, you're not the NFLPA at all, dad. No, seriously. Because you're not. High school practices are longer. You've got more like two-a-days or three-a-days if you've got a genuine psycho as your coach. So I have no idea.
Genuine psycho.
It's your high school training camp is the hardest football practice you'll ever have. It won't be. I mean, if you go to college, it's going to be more competitive and everything. But as far as like actually wanting to puke or quit football because it's so hard, high school's the worst.
Right, the sheer elements of it, no question. Now, I feel like David Culley would be the coach to have if you were in high school. I feel like David Culley, who gave his professional team their mandatory mini camp off, I feel like if you're trying to have a coach this time of year, it's David Culley. Now, the one area where David Culley, that we know is an Achilles heel for David Culley right now, Seth, is answering questions about Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a rough area for him. So let's relive some of the magic and then delve into how we think David Culley will handle Deshaun Watson questions. Whether Deshaun is out there on the practice field or not on Wednesday, Culley is going to get asked about Deshaun Watson. So let's go all the way back to the day that David Culley was hired. Keep in mind, at that point, we were 24 hours removed from Deshaun Watson's trade request becoming sort of official news. Here is David Culley answering the question, was he aware that Deshaun Watson wanted to be traded when he took this job?
The only thing I knew about this whole situation at that point was that I was being interviewed for this job to be the head coach. And I did know at that point, Deshaun Watson's a Houston Texan. He's a quarterback of the Houston Texans. And that's all that I was concerned about, and that's all I knew, and whatever was been said about what he wanted to do or he didn't want to do, all I know is this, having been in this business this long, you know, he is a Houston Texan, and I want him to be a Houston Texan. And the reason I'm in this position today is because I knew he's going to be a Houston Texan. And so that the outside stuff that was being said was irrelevant to me, because the most important thing to me is that at that time was figuring out what can I do after talking with Nick and his family to become the head coach of the Houston Texans.
Okay. So that was David Culley on the day that his hire was announced, which I think at the time, Seth, was a time where the Texans legitimately thought they could still convince Deshaun Watson to be a Houston Texan.
Yeah. And that's where I think Culley is a natural talker. And I think sometimes in these situations, that's where it can get him into trouble.
Gets out over his skis a little bit.
Yeah, because I think like there's he could have said the same thing without talking so much. And because and realistically, if his message were simply, hey, he's the quarterback for the Texans right now, we recognize there's some drama, but we're going to try to work through that. You, at that point, you could have said, like, okay, well, I don't believe you that you're going to be able to. But you could believe that, okay, maybe he really does think he's going to be able to work through this. It was because if it were exactly as he said, if it were that he genuinely didn't have a clue about the situation, I would say either, okay, you either didn't even want to ask or know about it, or you're like that far in the dark that like none of that answer made
sense.
Or
the team's not being truthful with
you. Yeah, because he was so adamant about how it was. I think that brevity would have been his friend in that situation.
So the question is, do you think any of the answers about Deshaun Watson being here sound anything like that answer from his initial press conference?
I would assume they probably had some time to kind of maybe prep him for it and coach him for it.
I don't
it.
Think there's it's any a, chance he comes out and sounds that effusive. He is the quarterback of the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
He might be taking 4-string reps on Wednesday for all we know.
I mean, the thing I would worry about, just as a Texans fan myself personally, not speaking in as a radio host or anything like that, is that I worry sometimes that if there's a... Sometimes the term toxic positivity will be used, where there's one thing to be positive. There's one thing to be think you're going to be able to work through issues and that you're ultimately going to have a good outcome. It's another thing to be completely in denial about the issues. Because that's not optimism. That's delusion.
That's right.
Because that means that you're not actually actively addressing the issues that you want to optimistically overcome. I get a little bit nervous about that sometimes with David Culley and Jack Easterby. There's this overarching theme of positivity that like almost wants to ignore the active problem. Like, no, we've got an issue here. Let's address it.
6 weeks later, after that cut you just heard, David Culley was on one of the NFL Network podcasts with Jim Trotter and Steve Weich. And they asked him, is Deshaun Watson, this is on March 11th. So keep in mind, this is 5 days before the first lawsuit became public. So this is back when we're still in the era of Deshaun requested a trade, and it's probably going to happen before the draft sometime. We didn't know anything about any massage lawsuits. Here was David Culley on that podcast when he was asked about, is Deshaun Watson your starting quarterback?
Will Deshaun Watson be the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans in 2021?
He is our starting quarterback as of right now. He is our starting quarterback. Things happen between now and then. and then we'll see what happens.
See, Jimmy, Coach, you just open the door right now. Just open the
right
door
now.
Right now. Exactly. You've been around, Coach. You know better.
He is our starting quarterback.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Right now. And hopefully in the future.
Dude, I mean, if he was out over his skis on the first answer, he's tumbling into the valley.
I guess ultimately,
he got podcasted is what happened there.
You feel a little too loose with people,
you know?
There are no commercial breaks, so you get really, really comfortable and you go long.
Tired.
But the problem was that he didn't quite catch on to the fact that he'd gotten got. You know,
no, like
that
he's he actually doubled down on our quarterback. Yeah.
But I mean, ultimately, with any of these, my ultimate response is like, hey, you know what? What's it ultimately harm? I mean, the situation is what it is. Do you wish he was more adept at handling this? Sure. And I think, again, because there's no harm in just acknowledging that there's a situation and saying, hey, we're going to work through it. And like, hey, I've been in this business a long time. I've dealt with a lot of angry players, a lot of angry coaches, a lot of angry general managers and owners. Things have a way of working themselves out if you just keep at it. And that's where we are right now. We're just going to keep at it.
Later on that day, the very same day he did that podcast was when he did the media session with the assembled media over Zoom.
Yeah.
He did the podcast earlier in the day. My guess is the Texans heard that "for now" answer and were like, we need to tighten up these Deshaun answers. Here was David Culley when he was asked, is Deshaun Watson committed to the Houston Texans?
Yes, he is.
How do you know that?
Well, he's a Houston Texan. And again, I know that I feel like that with the commitment that we've made to him, and I feel like that same commitment will be there with us also moving forward.
Okay, again, that was on March 11th. That was before any of the lawsuits were happening. Yeah. So they, you know, so again, I wonder if he gets asked this time around, is Deshaun Watson committed to the Texans? Is the answer, well, he's here.
I don't know. And I think that partly when I say, okay, ultimately, what's the issue or what's the problem with it? I think amongst the fan base, there are people that got, you know, tired of Southern Belle O'Brien. You know, when I do my Southern Belle impression of just like, well, me and my, I'm just an innocent little old football coach. I don't know. People got tired of basically not feeling like you're being dealt with honestly and forthrightly.
You're having your intelligence insulted.
Yeah. And Culley has a much different demeanor than Bill O'Brien, but at the end of the day, that's what he's doing. He's doing the same thing Bill O'Brien would do a little bit, is asking you to buy this a load of tripe that if you're an intelligent person, you're not going to buy. And that is, I think some people get they're either just a little bit tired of that, or they just want to be spoken to plainly. And that in these situations, it hasn't been a matter of speaking to the people plainly.
The last two here are from OTAs. The first media session David Culley did at OTAs. Keep in mind, this is a media session in which Deshaun Watson wasn't even in the building, may not even been in the city of Houston anywhere. He was not there. Other players were. Yet 8 of the first 11 questions in this press conference were about Deshaun Watson. I can only imagine what it's going to look like now that Deshaun Watson would actually be in the building. Here is Christy Reakin of the Associated Press asking about attendance at OTAs.
Hey, Coach, I was just wondering, has Deshaun been at the facilities at all? And if not, have you heard from him, or do you expect him to be there at all this offseason?
We have nothing more to say. We've talked about the Deshaun situation with Nick and I both, and with Cal, and nothing's new on that.
So he has not been to the facility at all?
I have nothing to say about that situation.
Okay, so at that point, everything, the legal stuff was a few months in at that point.
Yeah.
So the whole organization was in no comment mode. Just one more before we react to this. Later on in that same press conference, I believe John McClain had asked a question about attendance, the team attendance, and Culley was effusive about how everybody was there, maybe forgetting that Deshaun Watson is still on the roster at that point. And Sarah Barshop of ESPN.com hit him with this.
I just wanted to clarify what you said about the participation and having everyone on Zoom. Do you mean that everyone on the roster has been taking part in the Zoom meetings since OTAs have started?
Yes, everybody's been on the Zoom meetings.
Including Deshaun Watson?
I have nothing to say about Deshaun at this point.
Cully's like, no!
And honestly, I know a lot of people were critical of Sarah Barshop for asking that question like it was a gotcha question. I look, I think that's the kind of question, if she hadn't asked it, then people would have equally said, well, hold on a second. He said everybody was there. How could you not ask that?
Anybody who felt that way about Sarah Barshop's question should reevaluate that based on the fact that Deshaun Watson has reported to training camp now.
Right, right.
Not that dumb a question now that he's reported to. And granted, those were voluntary, not mandatory.
Plus, especially we were talking about the Zoom calls.
Right.
Like, it was conceivable that maybe Deshaun was on the Zooms, you know, and was taking part in learning and just trying to be, maybe he's just sitting there with his camera off and listening in or something.
Right.
So it was conceivable. It just, that one I felt bad for Cully because I could totally 100% see myself falling into that same, I don't want to say trap. I could make the same mistake where in my mind I'm thinking like, well, everybody we expect to be here was here. And Deshaun is off, you know, Deshaun's in a separate compartment in my brain. So I could very easily see me doing exactly what David Cully did.
Dude, as soon as her first question was done and Cully started to answer, it's like watching somebody walk in front of a train.
Yeah.
And they don't know the train's coming. Like, no. So we play all that audio to say that handling Deshaun Watson questions has not necessarily been a strong suit of David Culley. He got better over time, mostly because the answer became no comment.
Yeah.
How do you think he does? What do you think? I mean, Deshaun's going to – it's going to be standard procedure like it's been at all these. Deshaun Watson is going to consume the first six or seven questions of these press conferences, is my guess.
I think that he's going to be a lot more curt like he was trying to be in that last press conference. And I think that he likes talking. He really likes talking.
Well,
I don't know if anybody's noticed or not, but he loves to talk. So I think it's really hard for him. And it's not because he wants to talk because he's an annoying person or anything. I think he likes chatting with people. And it probably personally pains him when he can't give an actual answer or, you know, at least some kind of information. So he struggles with it. Sometimes there's a certain amount of duplicity or deception sometimes that goes into being a head coach at a podium. And I would say it could either be a weakness or it could be a strength. And I think that the Cully kind of lacks the duplicity to do some of those things that other head coaches can do.
The second he sets foot on the practice field, it generates six questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing the number out there. But when they get into team drills, right, the drills where we've always seen Deshaun and the other quarterbacks each taking turns, running a skeleton offense out there, whatever the case may be, and they're all with a unit that you can clearly tell that's the ones, that's the twos, that's the threes. If Deshaun is with the ones, the question is going to be, is he your starting quarterback?
Yeah.
If Deshaun is with anything but the ones, why is he with the fours? Why is he with the threes? If Deshaun doesn't do any of those drills, why is Deshaun not practicing with the rest of the team? I mean,
I think the thing is, there's a forthright answer to those questions. I think that's a question. You're not giving away state secrets or anything. You know, like, that doesn't have to be a Bill O'Brien style of, well, we're doing what's best for the team. That could be simply, hey, you know what? Deshaun's got the most experience in this offense, and we just want to be sure we have smooth practices, but it is a competition. Or, that's if Deshaun is starting.
First string,
If Deshaun is third string, I think it's as simple as, hey, you know, we've got a lot of new wrinkles in this offense because we've added Pep Hamilton's influence. There's some new terminology, and Deshaun wasn't here for any of it. So we're gonna work him into the system. We want to take it easy and slow at this point. Tyrod's been here the entire time. And you know, that's it. And then try to stop talking.
What if he's off to the side working out like Jadeveon Clowney was a few years ago?
Okay, if he's off to the side working out. Hey, look, you know, these voluntary sessions are completely voluntary in the spring. And we don't force anybody to be here. But we feel like the guys that have been here are more physically prepared for training camp. And we want to be sure we take the utmost caution and not overly taxing anybody at this point. So Deshaun's off on the side working.
Okay.
I mean, am I a little too full of BS there?
No, I mean, yes.
Okay, that was genuine BS.
No, but I think look, unless they're going to tell the full truth and nothing but the truth, that's the answer. The funny thing about that answer is that if you were at OTAs, it is... It's
and
one
easy.
Level above a country club. You know what I mean? Like, it's
okay. Let me give you a more honest answer because I feel like a hypocrite for giving a little bit of a BS answer there. Let's see. I would say if I were going to be completely honest and yet not also fan the flames of controversy, I would say
I'm waiting for this.
Look,
do you want the break?
Look,
to think about it.
This is what I say. I say, look, what am I going to do? Lie to you guys? I mean, maybe I will lie to you guys in the future, but right this moment, what am I going to do? Lie to you? Look, we've got a situation between Deshaun and the team right now, and we're trying to find the best way to work through it, and we don't think we're there yet. And we're having conversations with Deshaun. We're having conversations with Deshaun's agent. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and we're happy to have him here in camp. But right now, we're going to, at this very early stage, take it very slow and not take any chances or make any disruptions that we don't need to make.
I admire your honesty, Coach Cully. Your goal of not fanning the flames, you failed completely.
Son of a bitch. Now, why did I do it? What fan?
Because that would be the headline.
Yeah.
Texans coach, we are willing to trade Deshaun Watson.
I didn't say that.
But that's how it would be construed.
No, we're trying to work through this. That's all. Through it. Yeah. That's your filter you're looking through, that the positive outcome is that he gets traded.
I'm just saying the flames got fanned. That's all I'm saying.
It's just like we've got a player who's not happy. I don't think that's a mystery to anybody. We would like to have a better relationship with him, and we're working through it right
now. Seth Payne for head coach. That's what I say. All right.
I don't want to be a head coach. I want to be a head coach spokesperson.
Seth Payne is here to do David Culley's Zoom call.
Yeah, I want to be the, the Cyrano de Bergerac thing.
There you go.
You know? Yeah.
The national media is going to be in town this week, and it would appear they're about to get their wish. That's next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.